Welcome back to the start of the third hour of the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. You can follow me on X at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. I'm mainly on there spreading Christmas cheer by calling people stupid and retard. Or dimtard, I guess I should say. Let's be politically correct. It's dimtards. Got this short five-minute segment. These are a couple of clips from Joey Manarino. And I did censor all these. I censored all the clips today, guys. I did all your jobs for you. Look at that. They're clapping. The mute button didn't have to get hit too much. But here, we'll just play these back-to-back. This is Joey Manarino going out into Little Mogadishu, just kind of showing you what it's like. And, you know, this is people we welcomed into our country, and this is what happens when you welcome people into your country with open arms. Here it is.
Are square blocks where you cannot function without a translator.
This is Little Mogadishu, Minneapolis.
Being Somali out here for me is like survival, man, every day.
How large is the Somali community here in Minneapolis?
Oh, too much.
Yeah. They just came here and took over, bro.
Do most people have a job and work here?
No.
No?
Nope.
Oh. Speaking Somali?
Yeah. Sorry. I think that's just how they talk.
Some of them don't speak English?
Don't speak English at all. Yesterday, I tried to ask one of them a question and she didn't speak English.
I've got on Duolingo trying to learn a little bit of Somali. People have told me, like, why would you feel like you need to learn another language when you're in America? And it's like, because there's a lot of people who speak a lot of languages in America.
You don't think there are any problems with not being able to read, like, traffic directions?
I do not agree with the assimilation. Let them have their own language.
You know, this isn't a thing about race. It's a thing about assimilation, and you have to actually assimilate so you can actually become an American and be a part of our culture. Legal immigration, fine, let's have more of it. Let's just do it properly, and we can actually have a flourishing American culture going forward.
No, Somali only. I guess why even learn English if you can just read the signs in Somali? If you don't force the people who move here to learn English, they never will or will never have the need to learn English. And my point proved itself immediately.
Could I interview you? Okay, sorry. Okay, this will be fascinating. Do you speak English? Do you speak English?
Somali.
Hi, do you speak any English?
French.
French? Bonjour. Somali?
French.
Okay. Can I interview you in French?
Hey.
Hey, what are you doing, guys?
Doing news report. Huh?
No.
What do you mean no? It's America, no? Chris, je vous interviewer in Francois?
He doesn't speak French.
Maku ware san kara af Somali? Okay. Thank you. This is a unique place. My name's Tyler.
Yes, you're
We're trying to talk to members of Somali community.
Yeah.
Because the Trump thing, temporary protected status over. I wanted to talk to people that live here. Would you be open to giving any thoughts for a little news piece we're doing?
Okay, good.
Good?
Yes, good, good.
Okay, okay, see you. Nice people. But keep in mind, it says it's not safe right there. It's not safe. Whisper on the wall, Dark Souls style. Well, we're trying to talk to members of the Somali community. And no? Okay. Okay.
And then I headed towards the Riverside Plaza apartment complex, known for its large Somali population, to see if I could find anyone here that spoke English.
Speak English?
No, sorry. Speak French.
Bonjour. Can I interview in French?
I'm sorry.
Intervoir in Francois? Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, once you start speaking French, they don't speak French.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I don't speak English, I speak French. And then you try to speak to them in French, and it's like, ha, I was just joking. Get away from me. We're here to take as much resources as we can and send it back to Somalia in suitcases of cash. That's what's going on up in Minneapolis. Hopefully we get to the bottom of it, but, you know, so far, well, we did get, it looks like a Black Lives Matter from Oklahoma City. The director there has been arraigned by the FBI. So something's happening finally. We're getting some progress into the criminality, into the looting of our country. There it is right there. Coming up next, I got Dr. Kirk Elliott. We're going to talk about the price of silver, which is just blowing up, and what you could do to get in on the action. So stay tuned. You're watching The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for watching.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. but now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you. It helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we are into the third and final hour of The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Don't forget, 40% off store-wide at thealexjonesstore.com. You can get this shirt, many others, hoodies, hats, knives, and some amazing supplements, including these creatine gummies, which I just tried. I actually tried one of each of the, there's the blue raspberry and the sour apple. I did one of each to see what that was like. But right now we have Dr. Kirk Elliott on the line. He is joining us via Skype to talk about the price of silver and how it's just kind of, you know, it's up, it seems like $5 in the last week, almost $6. And Kirk made a prediction. I think he said 65 to 100 or 75 to 100. What was your prediction for the end of the year? And we're not there yet, so it could still happen.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Rob. It's great to be with you. And my prediction for, I don't know, last 6 months or so has been 67 to 75 by the end of the year. But probably by the end of the spring, early summer, we should see 120 to 140.
So that's a doubling from where we're at now. That's a doubling.
I mean, literally, for as great as it's been, you know, so three and a half, 4 years ago, silver was like $18 an ounce, right? And it's like, okay, wow, it's gone from 18 to 63 today. That's been a lot, but it took almost 4 years to get there. Best asset class in the world, right? Now, moving forward, I think we're going to see a doubling, if not more, over the next 6 to 8 months. I mean, this to me is absolutely incredible, but there's a reason why, right? So when you look at silver, it's used for like literally everything that we use practically in this world right now. All electronics, electric vehicles, battery technology, solar power, missiles and torpedoes, right? AI chips, cryptocurrency mining, that all uses silver. So when you see gold go up, why does gold go up? Gold goes up because people start losing confidence in the system, right? They don't trust their banks anymore. They think the banks are undercapitalized. They don't trust their governments. They don't trust a word that they say. Because as a political barometer, that's what gold responds to, and it does very well during times of inflation and lowering interest rate cycles, which is what we've seen. Silver acts the same way, Rob, except silver has this next level of demand, which it's actually used for manufacturing. Gold is not. Gold is a financial metal. Silver is both a financial metal and manufacturing metal. I don't see any decrease in demand for silver in the near, medium, or long-term future. I just don't.
Especially with all these data centers being put up, you know, each one of these takes, you know, each one has probably thousands of server racks in it with, and then you got all these servers, and then each one of those has microchips in it. You could just see, and that's only just in one, maybe one area where they're putting them in these states. And with this AI revolution that's going on in China and the U.S., you could look at some of these. I mean, just gigantic facilities. And each one of these has a little bit of silver in it, each one of these.
Every single one of them, right? And so when you look at this, this is where it becomes really interesting, Rob, because about 3 weeks ago, the Secretary of Interior added silver and copper to the critical minerals list, which means it's now a matter of national security, right? So that means we're going to have to start stockpiling it. We can't rely on imports of silver from China and other places when it's now on the critical minerals list and it's a matter of national security, right? So that just tells us part of the reason and the rationale why the demand for silver is so extensive. But over Thanksgiving, we had something that I haven't seen since one event that I've never seen ever. I've been in this industry since 2002. One thing that happened on the day after Thanksgiving that we haven't seen since 2001. Both of these are very, very important to the price movement of silver. So on Thanksgiving, like a lot of us, I'm just sitting there at the in-laws' house, overeating turkey, wanted to just take a nap and watch football. It's like, okay, that's all I was doing. But in the behind the scenes, I didn't realize until the next morning that, holy cow, COMEX, the CME group, halted trading at COMEX, right? For silver and copper. It's like, what? Halted trading. The markets weren't really even open. Banks weren't open. It was a holiday, right? Now, there's still international, like China doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, obviously, right? But so there was international trading, but they blamed it on a cooling tower. It's like a cooling tower. The servers weren't overheated because of all the activity. It was a holiday, right? So the cooling tower issue, some kind of a deflection of reality. What was really happening, right? Because, you know, if we're smart business people and we happen to run an exchange, we're going to have a redundant system. You know, at InfoWars, you have a redundant system. If the server goes down, you're going to redeflect it to another server, right?
It's just, yeah, we have backups, right?
Yeah, you have backups, right? So especially if you're the largest exchange, a COMEX exchange in North America. So cooling, so let's just say, yeah, the cooling tower went down. Well, takes 2 minutes, put it to the next one, right? There's going to be a redundant system. They didn't do that. They shut down for 10 hours. Why? Because silver really started to make a move. There's stories on the internet, which haven't been completely substantiated, that there's a massive request for physical delivery by the end of December. It's not there. London is already out. You know, Alex and I have talked about this a bajillion times. London is out of silver. And in the gold and silver markets, all roads lead to London. Doesn't matter what country you're buying from. It settles in London, distributes to the rest of the world. London is out of silver, right? They've completely mismanaged everything, right? Because of greed, because they've got over 300 paper ounces of silver in the futures market for every 1 ounce of physical deliverable silver. So if Sony or Samsung or LG start saying, hey, we want physical delivery of silver, we're gonna end our futures contract where we locked in futures prices. We want delivery of it because we need it for manufacturing. It's like, uh-oh.
It's like fractional reserve banking, but with the silver market.
It is, and yeah. It's so dumb. It's no wonder. It doesn't take too much when it's a 350-to-1 ratio of paper ounces of silver for deliverable. So somebody's taking a massive order for physical delivery. This would cause banks to go into default, Drew. They would cause banks to go into default. So rather than going into default, they shut down the system. This is my theory, right? Because it doesn't make sense any other way. It was a non-market trading day. Things don't overheat. Servers don't overheat when they're not being used, right? So rather than going into default, they halt trading. So the next morning, here comes Friday. I wake up, you know, after Thanksgiving. It's like, holy cow, silver went from 54 to 58 overnight. Like literally overnight. Because now the world sees that the emperor has no clothes. Right? And it's like, wow, it's not just London that might be out of silver. COMEX might be out of silver. They had to halt trading. I mean, this is wild, wacky, weird things happening. So then the weekend goes on. Monday, silver goes down a dollar. This is the Monday after Thanksgiving. So probably some profit taking. Since the Monday after Thanksgiving until now, silver's gone from 57 to 63, right? We are now up about 117% year to date Gold's up over 60%. Why is this? To me, as an economist, it's purely supply and demand. When you have low supply and high demand, I don't care what it's in. Could be in bicycles or groceries or gold or silver, or oil or gas or housing or whatever. When you have low supply and high demand, the prices go up. We are seeing astronomical price movements. And to me, this is more than just, the exchange doesn't have supply. This is the debasement trade of a generation, meaning people globally have lost confidence in the banking system. They've lost confidence in their governments. And that Financial Times article that you have on the screen, I read that this morning, and they're saying the same thing that Alex and I have been talking about on the show for a couple months. It's like, did they listen to the show? I doubt Financial Times listened to the show, right? But they're saying the same thing. This is a debasement trade. This is a function of the world is changing as we know it, from fiat-based money creation to where even central banks are allocating into gold by the hundreds and thousands of tons. Why? What's coming? I think it's the changing of the guard. It's a changing in the system as we know it. And when people lose confidence in anything, in relationships, in anything, that relationship heads south, right? When they lose confidence in their financial advisor, they change to another financial advisor. When they lose confidence in anything, when people lose confidence in the government, what happens? It's a big deal. This is when you start to get revolution type stuff. This is what we're seeing socially. We're seeing politically. We're seeing economically as this central banking system, as we know it, the whole world is based on debt, is moving. The pendulum is shifting into a different era of cryptocurrency that now has stable coins attached to them, tokens that have real world assets attached to them. We're moving into a digital world where fiat based money is going to be a thing of the past. What is going to be the new future? You know, I think probably cryptocurrency with tangible backing like gold or silver, or tangible backing with currencies like a stable coin, or tangible backing of a security attached to a token. See, we're moving into a digital world, and some people hate that. Some people hate that we're moving into a digital world because they don't trust it. Well, the move into decentralized blockchain, like call it Bitcoin, Solana, Ethereum, XRP, whatever, or precious metals, physical precious metals like gold and silver, have the same fundamental force that's driving its growth. And that is, we want out of the system. We don't trust the banks. We want something that's private, and we want something that's going to grow.
And let me stop you there. The difference between physical gold and silver and then, you know, cryptos is, you know, cryptos can be, you know, you can get hacked. You can get these things stolen. But if you're having the physical gold and silver either on hand or in an account somewhere, you have to physically remove it. It has to have a physical turn to get that out. So it's a little, to me, it seems a little safer. I've been buying silver since it was $5 an ounce back in the early 2000s. Those, to me, it's like, wow, those are the good old days. I remember bags of silver quarters and stuff like that. But right now people are looking at their assets in that are tied up in like 401ks or, IRAs, individual retirement accounts. How would they take something like that and then turn that into silver? I mean, what is the process of that? How long does it take? Can people take advantage of that going into this these uncertain times? Can they get out of, you know, the traditional markets and get into silver that way?
For sure. So the first step is if you have cash in a brokerage account, you know, or in the bank, it would just be a cash purchase, right? You wire the funds, we send you the gold or silver. Or you can set up a depository account if you don't want it at home. Some people don't want it at home. They've called, Kirk, you have no idea the neighborhood I live in. I just saw your segment. It's like, we live in Minneapolis.
I've run out of books to put it in.
Right. There's nowhere for it. I need to have it stored. Right. So that's easy. Right. Now, if you have an IRA, there's just one extra step. We do a tax-free rollover from your existing IRA custodian to one that will allow for physical holdings of gold or silver bars or coins, right? So I'm not talking about paper or certificates or anything like that. Physical gold and silver coins and bars stored in your IRA. It's a tax-free rollover, but now you're getting out of the system to a large extent. You're going into something that has real demand, that the trend is the largest trend of this generation, and you can allocate into it. Now, let's say you have a 401k. If it's an old 401k, yeah, it just rolls into an IRA, piece of cake. If you're currently working for a company and you have a 401k, if you're under 59 and a half, sorry, can't do anything. It's not technically your retirement account. It's the company's and you're a participant in it. But if you're over 59 and a half, still working at the company, you could take that, roll it into an IRA, take the balance to zero if you wanted to. You just can't stop your 401k contributions because you're still working for the company. So there's so many options that we can do for people, but word to the wise, your existing advisor might say, oh, you know what? I can do gold or silver for you. We'll just do an ETF. Really? You really want to do the silver ETF? That's
which is just a piece of paper, right? It's just a piece of paper. It's a ledger.
Yeah. And if you look deep into the prospectus, the number of ounces that they have on hand don't necessarily match the amount of dollars that have been contributed. Why is there a difference? I think there's derivatives exposure in there. It's not the same. Let's just say you had a silver ETF and you thought, oh, moving dollar for dollar with the silver market. This is amazing, right? And it's 2010 and your broker was Lehman Brothers. Like, uh-oh, those ETFs are held in like street name. Lehman Brothers goes down. Anything over and above the insured limit vaporizes. It's gone. We said, wait, I thought I had physical silver backing up this ETF. It's like, yes, but it's gone. You only have FDIC or SIPC insurance up to the limit. Anything over that, it goes bye-bye. So this is where owning the actual physical is so much safer than having any kind of a paper proxy to the underlying asset.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty very interesting in the way, because there's people, you know, for a long time have had this, you know, outlook of the stock market as, well, it's always going to keep going up. It's always, but you know, with Lehman Brothers in 2008 banking crisis, I mean, we had banks literally just go under, and if you had assets over what was 250,000, you know, well, sorry, you're out of luck. That's it, you know. And we saw people, you know, lives get ruined. People getting kicked out of their houses. We've sort of recovered from that, but now it seems like we're sort of getting back into the same thing where they're loosening some of the standards to get into homes again. And now we're getting into that point where people are going, geez, the value of my home's going down. It's more than what it's now worth less than what I paid for it. And I'm paying this mortgage, you know? So really, it does make a lot of sense to get into gold and silver. And so people, what, call the number, go to the website? What's the fastest way to like transfer your assets over?
Two different ways. You can just go to simply the link for InfoWars, kepm.com/gold. So it's kepm.com/gold, and just say, hey, saw you and Kirk talking, like we want to do something here. And so, or you can call our phone number, 720-605-3900. And just say, saw Kirk on InfoWars, and we'll take care of you. My team will get you scheduled. We'll answer all of your questions. Hear your dreams. Hear your goals. Hear your fears, right? And say, okay, you don't have to be afraid in this world. There's the opportunity to be had. You know, when we're talking about this stuff, it's not a fear-based message. The world is ugly. I'm not saying that it's not. Right. And it's weird and it's getting worse and there's all kinds of weird chaos and mayhem everywhere. But that brings so much opportunity if you know where to look. And there's hope in that message of, you can't change some of the garbage that's happening around you, except you can change your finances just by allocating properly. That's what we're here to help you do.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, I've always been a physical holder of silver. I've got it in different spots. But yeah, it does make sense to even with that diversify and have some in your vault's in Texas, right? It's here in the state of Texas.
Yeah, it's just not too far from where you are now. It's down in Shiner, Texas. The Texas Precious Metals Depository is who we use. Not all depositories are created equal. Some of them have joint ownership on the account. You need one that has singular ownership. You have to have full insurance coverage. The one that we use in Texas, I love it. A, because it's in Texas. Texas has very favorable legislation towards precious metals. You know, there's been pending legislation for a long time for Texas to have its own central bank that's backed by gold, right? So you have to get through Texas legislature if there's any kind, and the Texas National Guard, if there's any kind of a government power grab, confiscatory action, right? I'm talking eminent domain, blood in the streets kind of activity, right? So I'd rather have it in a conservative state like that than LA, yeah. for crying out loud, right? So it was, the location matters. The logistics of the contract matter. It's singular ownership, not joint ownership. I mean, a lot of reasons why when we were vetting different depositories, why we picked them, because client safety comes first. It's just, it's paramount to everything. That's why we do what we do. Right? Yeah, you could be in the right asset, but if it's not stored safely, what good is it? If it's not liquid on the back end, what good is it? Right? And so there's a lot of dealers out there that are selling high-grade collectible, commemorative, weird stuff, bunch of garbage that you overpay for that they're selling out of their own inventory. Here's
what's you want to pay spot. Spot's the way to go. I mean, nobody's collecting baseball cards, you know?
Bullion. When some of these companies are selling out of their own inventory and at the end of the market, everybody wants to liquidate and lock in their profits, they're going to say, uh-oh, crud. We have more people wanting to sell than people that are buying. We're going to have to suspend and we're not buying stuff back. This is what's going to happen, right? It's what happens when companies sell out of their own inventory, or else they're forced to sell those high-priced commemorative pieces of junk that you bought. They're going to have to sell them back to the exchange or the depository. They're going to melt them down to make them into a bar because nobody's going to want them. Hey, you might as well just go into bullion now rather than overpay what you're not going to recover from. This is why always it's like, I can count on one hand the types of gold or silver that you should own. 1,000-ounce bar of silver, 100-ounce bar, 10-ounce bar, 1-ounce generic refinery round. Okay, that's silver. On gold, a 1-ounce gold bar or a kilo bar. These are all bullion items. If it's not one of those, I wouldn't look into them, right? Yeah. Because you're going to overpay.
I totally agree. That's definitely the way to go. Go to kepm.com if you're out there thinking about, well, maybe, if nothing else, you go talk to somebody, 720-605-3900. Talk to somebody about what your concerns are, and you've got several people there to answer the phone and answer people's questions, alleviate their fears, and then, you know, help them create a path to wealth. Because, you know, I covered the article earlier today from InfoWars. You're looking at a 10-year run right now. Is that what you're thinking?
A 10-year run. Yeah, absolutely, Rob. It's, you know, the last time we saw a signal happen, which was the thing that happened on Friday after Thanksgiving, the price of silver blew through the broader based stock market index, the S&P 500. Last time that happened was in 2001. What happened in 2002? Silver went from 450 to 48 in 10 years. I think we're at the beginning of a 10-year run, Rob.
Go to kepm.com. Thank you for joining me, Kirk Elliott. Appreciate you.
You bet.
All right.
Mr. Drew. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. We'll be right back after this for the final segment of The American Journal. Thank you for joining us.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. When I asked Grok about the benefits of creatine, this is what Grok said at the end. Bottom line, creatine is one of the few supplements that consistently lives up to the hype for strength, power, muscle growth, brain function. If you lift weights or do any explosive sport, it's basically a no-brainer. But speaking of no-brainer, when you really study creatine, it's what it does for the brain and everything else in the body. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Now, you can front load with 20 milligrams for a week or so is what the experts and doctors and people recommend and fitness people. But after that, you just take one a day. And most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is it's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc., may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. And our incredible creatine gummies come in two flavors, sour apple and blue raspberry. Our sponsor, Bigly, went through dozens and dozens of different formulations with top formulators, and this is hands down absolutely delicious. Now, these taste so good, you're going to have to hide them from your children. But if gummies aren't the thing for you, we've got the amazing pure powder. It's all available again right now at thealexshowstore.com for up to 40% off. Again, this is creatine monohydrate. Look it up. It's the gold standard. And it is so good for your body. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Final segment of The American Journal coming up next is The Alex Jones Show from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and then The War Room from 3 to 6. That will conclude our broadcast day. Don't forget, you can still get 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com until Sunday. I think 99.9% of the items in there are 40% off. This week only, that's shirts, that's hats, that's hoodies, the supplements. I think the only thing that's not 40% off are the creatine gummies, but you can get them if you buy, I think, three or more, you get them for 40% off. And if you subscribe to it, almost everything's 50% off if you subscribe to these supplements. So check all that out at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to go to this clip. This is Bobby Charles, who's running for governor in Maine, talking about, and this isn't Somali corruption anymore. Now, this is just general Democrat corruption of 4,500 contracts for a total of $2.1 billion just given to friends of Democrats. And that's how the money laundering grift works. They raise your taxes, they take your money, and they give it to their criminal friends. Here's Bobby Charles with more.
How about the fact that you have an audit that shows $2.1 billion in questionable contracts? Steve Robinson, God bless him, digs a little deeper. You look at some of the deep contracts, you find there are more than 4,500 contracts that were non-compete, sole source, given to friends and family of Democrats. Does that look like public corruption?
Yeah.
How about the fact that I ran 5 years of investigations for Gingrich? I ran the Waco investigation, 100 witnesses. I ran all kinds of investigations. I did criminal referrals. Do you think, with 4,500 potential felonies, do you think there was one criminal referral?
No.
That is normalized public corruption.
Normalized public corruption. That's what's going on. And here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've heard of this, but Netflix is really making some moves. They've created a physical place you could go and experience the Netflix family of movies like Stranger Things and Squid Games and stuff like that. And it's called Netflix House. And when you enter Netflix House, you don't know this, but you give up your right to certain things. And we got a breakdown of it from a not yet lawyer, but she's a law student. She breaks it down a little bit. And then I'm going to show you the terms and conditions that kind of back up what she's saying in this video. Here it is, clip 22.
Okay, this like new Netflix House gaming studio thing is insane, and like they're literally gonna steal your identity. Just hear me out. Allegedly, and also I'm not a lawyer. Giving myself some credibility, I studied criminal justice, sociology, psychology. I got my master's in domestic homeland security, and I went to law school. I failed the bar 3 times. I'm not a good test taker. However, I know a few things about social media and data and all these things kind of combining. Somebody posted this on TikTok, and essentially it says that when you enter Netflix House, you give Netflix the right to use your name, your likeness, and your voice in any use worldwide forever without compensation, right? And immediately I was like, there's just no fucking way that that's real, right? Because like, that's so scary. It's real and it's worse than I thought it was. So I took my ass over to netflixhouse.com/terms, and there was all this hoopla. And I don't like what they're doing. Basically, when you go in and you read all the terms, when you walk in there, you're giving them everything. You're giving them your face, your movements, your identity, how you talk, how you walk. You're giving them everything. And you're giving them the right to AI generate you. And you're giving them the right to use all that in their content without compensating you whatsoever. Oh, and if you bring your child in there, you're also saying that it's okay for you for them to take your child's data, which is scary.
All right, let's look at this now, because this is pretty wild, making claims like that. So you can actually go to, here's the Netflix House terms and conditions right here. Let's see, it's netflix.com/legal/Netflix House terms. So you can see it right there. You go to number 8. All right, this is name, image, and likeness. So when you visit Netflix House, we may photograph, record, depict, or otherwise capture the name, image, voice, or likeness of you, or in the case of parents and guardians, of any minor as you engage in the experiences and or content offered within Netflix House. And you basically grant them irrevocable, perpetual, worldwide, non-exclusive right to photograph, record, depict, or portray you and your child, and use and grant others the right, but not the obligation. Including, by way of example, for security or analytical purposes, your child's participation in any of the experiences offered in Netflix House. So just be aware, when you go into these places, they can take whatever they want in terms of video, voice print, whatever they have in there, and then use it on future Netflix productions. Say they need a crowd, because she talks about AI in there. I didn't see anything specifically using the term AI in this terms and conditions. But if they're allowed to do all these other things, then you could just take that and use it in any way. Well, that would mean AI. So they need a crowd scene. They need a bit part. They need a weird looking person, and you happen to be weird and going in there. They could take you, turn you into an AI visage, and use you in productions without any compensation. So just keep that in mind. Speaking of compensation, when you buy a car, say you like to use the navigation system, the sound system, the heated seats, the heated steering wheel. Well, those things are soon going to become subscription only. This is a new trend. I think it started with either Mercedes or BMW, but now it's gone to Toyota. And, you know, Toyota used to seem like, you know, it was sort of an upper end. It was like a high quality middle class car company because they made really good cars that ran forever. And now if you buy the Toyota Camry, after a year, you basically have to pay them $600 to use features that you got when you bought the car. Here's a YouTuber breaking it down about he just got this Toyota Camry, and now he's seeing some of the subscriptions that go away after a certain amount of time unless you pay them up to $600 a year. Here's the clip. It's clip 23.
Toyota's charging us $600 a year to keep all of our functions on our 2025 Camry after we've owned it for a year. Let's go ahead and dive into what it is. Well, everything's a subscription nowadays, so it shouldn't be too surprising that cars are now wanting a subscription as well. And after a year, Toyota expires some of the vehicle functions. So what are those functions?
Well, probably the biggest thing that expires after a year is remote start via the Toyota app. So you used to be able to, from anywhere, open the app and remote start your vehicle to get it cooled down. That's no longer a thing after a year. You also lose the digital key functionality, so you have to take your keys everywhere with you. You can no longer use your watch or your phone. Another big thing that expired is our navigation. Despite us buying the high-end XSE trim level with the big screen, when we tab to the navigation menu, guess what? It's now expired, and if I hit get started, all it wants to do is sell me this subscription. So how much is the subscription? Well, $15 a month is the entry-level price. If you want the app functionality with things like navigation, which I feel like we already paid for. Now, if you want additional things like Apple Music to be able to function inside the car natively, that's $25 a month. And then if you want Wi-Fi on top of that, that's an additional $25 a month. So yes, you can spend $50 a month on this Camry in subscriptions, $600 a year. Now, of course, we're not doing that. I don't think it's worth that, but do you think it's worth it? Comment your thoughts down below. And if you want to learn all about the Camry, we have a ton of videos, so be sure to follow us down below.
All right, so there you go. Toyota faces backlash over alleged subscription fees for basic car features in 2025 models. Yeah, that's why people are going. There's a trend of people going back and getting cars from the 90s because it doesn't have as many computer parts that go bad. It's very mechanical. You could fix it yourself. And there is a definite trend of people eschewing these. And I think you're going to see a big backlash from this because people are, you know, they're getting nickel and dimed to death and they're sick of it. Now, let's go to Colorado. This is Attorney General Phil Wisner. Basically saying he's, even though Donald Trump has given a pardon to Tina Peters, he's saying it's worthless. She's here on state charges, even though it was a federal election she was saving data from. They're keeping her under the state auspices. And basically, Trump's going to have to do this. He's going to have to send U.S. Marshals there to break her out as a witness and put her in the witness protection program. That's the only way he's going to get her out of there. So I hope he's listening. Maybe somebody could get a message to him. You got to send the Marshals in to get Tina Peters, or else we're never going to have free elections because she has all the data that we need. Here is Phil Wisner basically thumbing his nose at the president.
AG Wisner, one final question for you here. Practically speaking, what happens if representatives of Tina Peters and or the president show up at the state prison in Pueblo tonight or tomorrow and say Tina Peters is coming with us? Will she be released by the state of Colorado while this plays out?
No, there's no legal authority for any federal government action to take a prisoner who's in state custody, lawfully having been tried, convicted, and sentenced. This is an important principle of our Constitution, and everyone who says they care about the rule of law, about public safety, and our Constitution needs to care about this issue. Ben Franklin said when he left the Constitutional Convention, we have a republic as long as we can keep it. This is one of those moments.
Attorney General Phil Wisner, thank you very much for your time.
I love how they're falling back on the love of the Constitution, which also means, I think, having free and fair elections. I mean, it's not specifically written that way in the Constitution. You know, it actually gives the states the rights to run their own elections. But hey, if anybody can vote, then why don't we just open it up to the world and let the world come in and vote? Like, let's put them online and let Uganda vote in our elections. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing anyway by giving licenses and sending out just endless mail-in voting ballots to people in some of these states. and not asking for voter ID in certain states. So, you know, at some point you have to have some rule of law in your elections, or you don't have elections and you don't have a country. Here's another some news from Trump. He signed an executive order basically banning gain of function here in the United States. This is big. I don't know if people really realize how big this is going to be. But right now, if you look at how COVID started in 2014, they were doing gain of function research in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, under Ralph Baric. That got moved to Wuhan. Then we were funding it through the NIH, sending money to the EcoHealth Alliance, who was sending stuff to the Wuhan lab and the bat lady, Xi Jing Li. Now all that's going to end under this executive order. Maybe the nymphal nerds over in Congress can get this codified under law, because Trump is at least doing his part. There doesn't seem to be much going in the way of Congress or the Senate. But here it is. Here's Trump signing the executive order to protect us from gain of function.
The first relates to gain of function research. Gain of function research is a type of biomedical research where pathogens are adulterated, viruses are adulterated to make them more potent or to change the way that they function. Many people believe that gain-of-function research was one of the key causes of the COVID pandemic that struck us in the last decade. What this executive order does, first of all, it provides powerful new tools to enforce the ban on federal funding for gain-of-function research abroad. It also strengthens other oversight mechanisms related to that issue and creates an overarching strategy to ensure that biomedical research in general is being conducted safely and in a way that ultimately protects human health more.
It's a big deal. Could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had.
A lot of people say that, sir.
If we had this done earlier. Thank you.
There you go. That was actually signed in May 5th of 2025, improving the safety and security of biological research. And now let's look at the COVID mRNA injections and how they cause sudden death years after the injection, because these little scars build up in your heart because these lipid nanoparticles and spike proteins are going through, basically destroying your organs because, you know, that's part of the deal here. You know, you're a lab rat until you decide to stand up and say no. So this is an interesting computer animation of what happens once you inject your body with spike proteins and lipid nanoparticles.
First, the mRNA is injected within lipid nanoparticles in your arm. It travels to every organ system, including the heart. And there's two papers, one by Bohmeyer and colleagues, one by Crossan and colleagues. Crossan found mRNA directly in the heart of deceased mRNA recipients. So we know it reaches the heart. Bohmeyer found the spike protein directly in the heart in biopsies of patients with vaccine-induced myocarditis. So we know the vaccine mRNA and lipid nanoparticles get into the heart, translate into spike protein, so your cardiomyocytes begin to produce a toxic non-human protein. And your own body attacks the heart, resulting in inflammation and cardiac scarring, including microscars, which are undetectable with imaging. You can only detect it with a microscope, which is very disturbing. And so once you have this scarring, you're going to have cardiac electrical abnormalities, electrical conduction abnormalities, and your heart's not going to beat properly. And then when you go exercise, we found there's two triggers, either during exercise or sports when there's exertion, or during the morning waking hours of sleep. In these two periods of time, there's a surge in catecholamines, including dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. And so during these times, when you have this cardiac damage, when you have this scarring, that's the trigger usually that leads to this vaccine-induced cardiac arrest. And that's why we saw a lot of sudden deaths among athletes back in 2021.
Just so you know what's going on when your friend drops dead of a heart attack and he was so healthy. And it's still happening, in case you don't know that. All right. I'm going to go to this last clip because I told you guys I would go to it. This is a young man named Karsten Van Osdonk. And he's, you know, this is a sustainable energy conference, and they're basically green energy people. But he's talking about suppressed energy systems, and he talks about three different people. One's Nikola Tesla, the second Stanley Meyer, and I forget the third one right offhand, but the Stanley Meyer made the car that ran on water, and it would get like, I think, 50 miles to the gallon or 100 miles to the gallon. I mean, it was something insane. And then he goes to meet with some people at a dinner, and he comes out and he goes, oh, they poisoned me, and drops dead. So let's go to that clip now. That'll be the end of the show. And coming up next is going to be Alex Jones. But this, just look at this and go, wow, what could be if we really just unleashed human potential? What could we really have out there? So just think about that while you're watching this. And here we go. Thanks for watching. I'm your host, Rob Dew.
Why is the energy transition happening so slowly? And in this research, I found out that many inventors over the last century actually have come up with ideas which can outperform most of the technologies we have today. And I'll give some examples of that right now. You may all know this man. This man is called Nikola Tesla. And in my opinion, he's one of the brightest minds in the history of science. And he has worked on technologies which not only harvest electricity from the vacuum of space, but also to transmit it wirelessly across the globe for everybody to use freely. And just to quote him here, electric power is everywhere in unlimited quantities and can power the world's machinery without the need for coal, oil, or gas. Isn't that amazing? Well, unfortunately, his primary investor, called J.P. Morgan, he eventually found out that he could not profit from Tesla's ideas. So he simply cut his funding at one point, and Tesla died a rather poor man and without the respect he actually deserved. Now, this is just a list of people who have worked on similar technologies if you're interested and want to do your own research, and I'm just going to name two more examples of this list. Next is up is that of Stanley Meyer. You may all know of the possibility to run your car on hydrogen gas. You got the combustible mixture of oxygen and hydrogen. You burn it, it leaves you with excess power to run your car, and the byproduct of just tap water, H2O. Well, Stanley Meyer actually found out a way to use tap water as a fuel source by hitting the water molecule at its resonant frequency and thereby very effectively splitting the water in hydrogen and oxygen. And with this, he built a dune buggy with which he could drive from the east to the west coast of the United States on just one full tank of water. At one point, unfortunately, he went out to dinner with his investors. Yes, again, investors. And after sipping his cranberry juice, he grabbed his throat. He bolted out the door of the restaurant. He dropped to his knees and cursed that he had been poisoned. And this sounds like something straight from a movie, right? But it's actually real, and you can look up the details yourself. I'll just give one more example, that of an actual working device currently in Switzerland. And to all you electrical engineers, this may resemble an electrostatic Wimshurst machine. Sounds complicated, but this one actually converts the ambient field energy, or radiant energy as Tesla would call it, into usable electricity. And the reason why Mr. Bauman has chosen not to disclose this technology is that he thinks humanity is simply not ready for it yet. And we may soon see why. So this leaves us with a very big question. What happened? Why are we not driving in water-fueled cars? Why are we not receiving electricity from the atmosphere or the vacuum of space freely? Peter Lindemann is an authority on the radiant energy Tesla was talking about, and he proposed four forces, actually. And the first being the banking system. And I know what some of you may think. Oh, here comes that guy with that Illuminati conspiracy theory. No, we're going to leave that behind. So in a free market economy, everybody is free to earn as much money as they like, but only in the form of the dollar or the euro or whatever currency you have. So you're never going to be paid in gold anymore, for example. So if I would have a system with which I can raise my own capital without borrowing it from a bank, the control of this banking system is lost. So naturally, they do everything to stop this. You can even see this in current day technologies, like photovoltaics and wind turbines. They're already being regulated more and more because of their devaluating capacity. It's even on the cover of The Economist. It's not a big secret or conspiracy. And that brings me to the second force, national governments. Because governments found out that the true policy that actually works is called an eye for an eye. So it's constantly jockeying for influence in world affairs, and it's survival of the fittest, basically. So imagine when one nation or one party in another nation achieves the ability to generate their own power. The balance of power literally shifts from the government to that other nation or party within that nation. And everybody will want this technology, and at the same time, everybody will want to prevent the other from getting it. So to prevent this chaos, governments do something smart. They issue a restriction on any patent or invention that can give an opponent an advantage over the government in power generation. It's called invention secrecy, and it's still going strong, as the Federal Agency of American Scientists says. The third group, actually comprised of the deluded inventors, or fraudsters, if you will, which actually are only in it for the money. So the problem is most of these devices don't work. YouTube is full of them. And actually the first two forces use the worst cases of these people to promote the idea that every technology concerning this free energy is a hoax, is a scam. So nobody believes in it anymore. And then there's the people who actually have built a device that works, but they're still in it for the money. And then Shell comes to their doorstep and says, hey, here's a couple of $1 million, go live a happy life, but don't speak about your technology again. So what is a couple of $1 million to a $20 trillion industry anyway? Now, I'm really wondering if somebody from the audience can guess what the fourth force is. What is the fourth force that's preventing this tech from happening? Anybody has an idea?
Consumers.
Exactly. It's all the rest of us. It's you and me. Because you see, the incentives and the motives of the first three forces, they seem so selfish and so narrow. But in reality, we share those same motives. These forces are literally just different aspects of the same problem. It's a human one. It's the greed, and it's the fear of competition, and it's that want for power. So in the end, I believe that this revolution, it has to happen within our lifetimes. And either it goes horribly wrong, and we destroy ourselves in the process, or we as a people choose the green transition. And we can nowadays, because we have the internet to form a critical mass and spread the information, as opposed to, let's say, 20 years ago. So that's why I challenge you all to do your own research into this subject, if you are interested, and spread the word. Because it is up to us to develop this technology that is already there. And the first three forces are not going to help us with this.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew, a cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree, everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph and more, give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too, and he was always stocked high with the Prussian, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast, and he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout, "The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop." To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Sprint this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.